6. The promise.
So there were 3 of them standing in the wreck of the morning, and Dava came into the garden and judged them in the order they had come to it, backward up the line, the serpent first, and the woman, and the man. And he questioned 2 of them, and he did not question the 3. And the whole standing of the enemy in this chronicle is set down in that silence. To the man he said, "Where art thou? And what is this that thou hast done?" To the woman he said, "What is this that thou hast done?" To the thing in the branches he said nothing at all by way of a question, because there was nothing left in it to answer. It was an empty glove by then, a fallen creature of the 6th morning that had been climbed into and used and left, as everything the ruin touches is used and left. And the watchers on the rim leaned in to hear the charge read against him, and no charge was read. He was not tried, he was sentenced. "Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life." And here is the first curse of the new world, and it fell upon a creature that had done nothing. The beast is cursed. The beast, which was a thing of the 6th morning like the ox and the hawk, and which had no more choice in the matter than a cloak has in the man who puts it on, is put down on its face in the dirt forever. The shining thing that stood upright in the branches with the light running on it goes down on its belly, and it is going to eat the dust that a man was made out of. And it is going to be the one animal that every child born in the marchlands is afraid of on sight and cannot say why. That is what happens to a vessel. It pays. It always pays. And the one who wore it walks out of it without a scratch on him and goes and finds another. And then the Lord Devar spoke to the ruined one who was hiding back in the 3rd lower world of Abaddon. And he set apart the words, and we set them apart too, and we have never added an ornament to them, and we never will. "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now go slowly." It is 27 words, and it is the root of this whole chronicle and every scroll we have, and every parchment that will ever be written after us. And we have been following it our whole lives, and we have not come to the end of it. The watchers heard it, and did not understand it, and the ruined one heard it, and understood just enough of it to be afraid. There will be a war, and it will not stop. And it will be between him and her, not between him and the man whom he has just beaten, but between him and the woman whom he has just used. And it will run down through the generations, seed against seed, house against house, in every field and every tent and every city, and you are in it, and so are we. And then, at the end of it, one comes out of her line and takes the serpent's head, and the serpent gets a heel. And the enemy heard it, hiding and listening under the floor of the world in Abaddon. And it is the thing that explains 100 pages of blood that are coming. Dava spoke the sentence over the serpent, and the ruined one down in the dark heard the sentence. And he heard the promise folded up inside the sentence. A seed. A seed that would come one day and break his own head. And he understood it well enough to be frightened, and not well enough to know where to look. So he rose up and began to hunt, and he has been hunting ever since. Every firstborn drowned in a river, every house of a king put to the sword, every child laid on an altar in a valley of fire, every barren womb he ever stood beside and gloated over, he was looking for the seed. He did not know which one. He has never known which one, and he has killed thousands of the wrong ones, and he will go on killing them. For a creature who cannot make anything can still get in front of a promise with a knife. Then Dava turned to the woman, and he did not curse her, and the watchers marked that he did not. The curse fell on the serpent, and the curse fell on the ground, and it did not touch either of the two people standing there with their eyes down. What came to her was sorrow, and it was laid exactly where her glory was. I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. The one thing she could do, that no burning one in all of Ramoth had ever done, the bringing of a new soul into the middle world, was going to cost her now, and cost her every time. And one day, it might cost her the whole of her life. And she was the one the promise ran through. The gate the seed would come by had been made a gate of pain, and every mother in the marchlands from that hour to this has paid a little of the toll on the road home. And thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee, and it stands as it stands, and we do not soften it, and we do not explain it away. The man and the woman who together had been the image of Davar, who had stood in the garden with nothing between them at all, went out to spend the whole of the age dragging against each other in the one harness, she reaching for him and he mastering her. And it has not been sweet in any tent or any house in any country since then. And Abaddon moved into that crack the day it opened and has lived in it ever since. For he cannot make a marriage. He can only stand in the gap between two that were made one. Desire and rule. Carry those two words with you. You will meet them again in the next telling. And to the man Davar spoke no curse either, but said, "Cursed is the ground for thy sake. Not cursed art thou." The curse went down past the man and into the dirt he had been lifted out of. So the man named Ground would toil with the hard ground under his feet. And thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. There is the whole of a man's life laid out in one sentence, and there is not a farmer in this country who could not have carved it on his own gate. He will fight the field, and the field will win, and then the field will take him back for thy sake. Now sit with those three words, because they are the strangest in the sentence. A mercy folded up inside a curse. Suppose the ground had gone on giving as it gave in the garden. Suppose a ruined man with an empty room in him and a lie in his mouth had gone out of the gate into a world that fed him for nothing. He would have forgotten. He would have forgotten inside a generation, and he would have been perfectly comfortable and utterly lost. The thorn in the field is the thing that keeps a man's back bent, and a man with a bent back sometimes looks up. It is a hard mercy, but it is the only kind that would work. And they died that day, exactly as he had said, though men have argued it, because the two of them went on walking about for 900 years. The body was only the wall, and the room went dark that afternoon. The indwelling light drew back and went out of them, and the thing they were made for, which was to be lived in, stopped. And in Ramoth, the burning one saw the light go out of the creature made of mud, and had no word for the grief they felt. The vessel stood empty in the middle of an orchard with leaves round its waist. That is what died. And a thing that is dead cannot make itself alive, and a lamp that is out cannot light itself. And the whole labor of every man in every country from that day to this, all the altars and the washings and the fine words and the ladders raised to heaven, are simply an empty vessel trying to fill itself with nothing inside it to fill it with. But we have a word about that, and it is not ours. And we did not invent it, for it is written in the scroll, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. and I will put my spirit within you. Hear the verbs, and hear who is doing all of them. I will give, I will take away, I will put. The Irin have never needed such a word, and never will, having never been empty. This is a word for the middle world, for a ruined man to live and hope on. But note, there is not one thing in that sentence for a man to do. And that is the whole quarrel between this chronicle and every religion that has ever been preached in the Marchlands. The vessel cannot fill itself. It is entered by Dvar and his spirit, or it must stand empty. But it would be entered again, and Dvar said so before the man and the woman walked out of the gate. And then the man did a thing that we think is the bravest thing done by anybody in the whole of this telling. And it goes past most readers like a leaf on the water. He had just been told that he was dust and was going back to the dust. The sentence of death was still hanging in the air of the garden, and the smell of the fruit was still on his hands and breath. And Adam turned round and looked at his wife and gave her a new name, and he called her Eve, which is Hava, which means life, because she was the mother of all living. Life. A dead man standing in a wrecked garden under sentence, naming his wife Life. He had nothing to go on but the promise of El Elyon and Dvar. He had one sentence, 27 words long, about a seed and a heel and a broken head, spoken over the snake and not even addressed to him. And the man took it, and he believed the promise, and he hung it round his wife's neck as a name. And in Ramoth, they saw that the man believed again, and that there was hope again. But the singing did not come back on that day, and we want to be honest about that, because it would be a lovely place to have the singing come back. But it did not, because the world was still broken. Two people were still standing in it with their eyes down, and leaves round their waists, and a long road in front of them. But in Abaddon, there was a stir. And the ruin turned his face up through the floor of the world and looked at a man he had just beaten flat, a man with nothing left, a man he had stripped in an afternoon. And the man was standing in the ruins, naming his wife after a promise. And we watched and saw that the evil did not understand it. He has never understood it. It is the only move on the board that he cannot answer. And he was seeing mercy and grace for the first time. And he did not know then that he would spend the whole of the rest of the world watching ruined people receive it and know that there was none for him, for he did not want it then or any time since.